The Influencer's Edge is brought to you by the Rapid Sales Accelerator. If you're ready to skyrocket your sales by 30% or more in just 90 days, then you need to claim your free training right now. You'll learn 4 words that will compel your prospects to trust you like they were children within the first 3 to 5 minutes of any conversation across any platform and any medium. You'll learn how to give your prospects objection amnesia to crush objections like, I need to talk to my spouse, or I need more time to think it over, or it's too expensive. And finally, you'll get a free recorded audio training that will install unbelievable attitudes for success and wipe out any limiting beliefs. So if you'd like to claim your free training now, go to www.paulrossbook.com. Do it before your competition does it now. Welcome to the Influencer's Edge. This is the place where you come to get the latest breakthroughs, cutting-edge insights, tools, and techniques to leapfrog over the pack in sales, persuasion, and influence. Be sure you visit our website at www.theinfluencersedge.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now sit back, tune in, and enjoy today's episode. Welcome back to the Influencer's Edge, and I'm excited because today we have another unusual guest. I like unusual guests because, as you know, we go off the beaten path, we disconnect the dots, we color outside the lines, and today's guest, Tom Beal, is definitely a gentleman who's an expert in that. And Tom, we're going to jump around a lot. I'm going to read the basics of your biography, and then I want to get into some interesting stuff. Not that your biography isn't interesting, but you have some serious wisdom brought on by some unique experiences. Mm-hmm. So Tom Beal is a man who has overcome incredible odds, haven't we all, to achieve success in life. Born to teenage parents and raised in a tumultuous, I love that word, environment, he rose to become a national bicycle champion. Really, what was your event?
I was a national bicycle champion in freestyle. So the tricks on the bikes. So doing like gymnastics on a bike type of stuff. So in 1989, I was 16 years old and won a national championship, a big old trophy. And it was just something that I did as a hobby. I ended up getting sponsors, and then I ended up competing and ended up winning it and became a national champion. I had sponsors and life was amazing. I was like, this life thing is simple. I'm getting clothes and shoes and bikes for free as sponsorships. And then from the divorces and marriages, my mom, who was the captain of the team, but she was the like organizer of it. In her last divorce, she kind of lost her mind and we lost all the sponsors and we lost that momentum right before X Games came in. So we were doing pretty nice, good things on our own. And then shortly when we folded, X Games came in and many of my friends became millionaires.
Yep. I got to ask you this, being a former pickup artist guru, as you know who I am.
Yes.
When you were winning all those prizes and did you get a lot of chicks, a lot of attention from the
chicks? It brought a lot of attention. It did. Yes. That was very helpful. It was a very good thing. Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll trust that you used it responsibly, but most teenagers don't. You were the number one honor graduate in the Marine Corps boot camp. Thank you for your service, sir.
My pleasure.
Our boot camp, the Marine Corps boot camp, is about the depot where they bring the guys to get their heads shaved and yelled at.
The recruits is
2 miles away from me.
The San Diego one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nice. Very cool. I was in Paris Island, the East Coast one. So, yes.
East Coast.
Yep.
All right.
Those are the Hollywood Marines that go to San Diego.
Oh, okay. Hollywood. Don't conflate Los Angeles with San Diego, my city, my home.
Correct.
All right. You have helped people like Mike Filsaime. Is that how he says his name? And Rich Sheffield.
His name is Filsaime, but when he got in the car business, people couldn't pronounce it. So years ago, decades ago, people were like, you're Filsaime. So he just went with the flow and so it's Filsaime.
And Rich Sheffield. Now, Rich was my first online business coach. He was my very first. I've had many, but he was my very first. I coached with him for a couple of years. You've helped them generate millions of dollars in online revenue, consults for several highly successful companies. You ever done anything for the government?
No.
Secret stuff?
Yeah.
And
I, I have I've transitioned from willing to lay my life down for the Constitution to realizing it was a fib for many generations prior to me taking that oath.
I get it.
Yep.
And as we won't touch that. He's been the mentor to many well-respected leaders in the personal development and internal marketing communities. Now Tom is offering his expertise to help others reach their next level of success, regardless of the obstacles they may face, through mentoring, live seminars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tom knows success is not easy. Skip all of that. Let's get to your NDE experience, your near-death experience.
Let's dive in. I'm so happy you have me here, Paul, and I'm excited for where this goes. It's going to go exactly where it needs to go. Let's dive in.
All right. Dive in, because I'm into NDEs, UFOs, never seen Bigfoot. I kind of have doubts on that one. But first of all, tell us, when did this happen and what were the circumstances?
Well, you will appreciate this. I was thinking with the wrong head on September 11th, 1998. I get a call from an ex-girlfriend. Hey, I'm going to this club. Can you meet me there? And my other head, you know, not this head, the other head was like, let's go to this club. So I'm speeding in a country road. I'd already been home. It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night on a Friday, September 11th, 1998. Speeding on a back country road, which didn't have, you know, how there's the white line and then usually there's a shoulder to the road. The white line led to gravel and dirt. And so what happened is I was going a little too fast around these corners. The tires went over the white line, got in the gravel, spun out. I caught traction, went across the road into a field in this country road. And I hit this embankment in the field that rolled the car four times.
Geez.
And all I remember is, uh-oh, this isn't good. Like as I'm coming toward this thing and I'm airborne, I'm like, this isn't good. And I roll four times. The next thing I remember, I'm laying in the field and I don't know what's going on. And I tried standing up. I couldn't stand up. I had from the rolling, when they reconstructed the accident after rolling four times, A, they didn't know how I wasn't crushed by the vehicle. I had no cuts. I had no bruises. I got ejected from the sunroof. They called me an angel.
Ouch.
And they couldn't understand how in it, the rolling.
Wait, wait, if I could, just to clarify for my audience,
yes.
You went through the glass of the sunroof. The sunroof wasn't open.
The sunroof fell out. The sunroof fell out in the rolling, and then I went out the sunroof somehow amidst the roll. Now, here's a little, if we dive into quantum physics, this kind of is a new epiphany for me. There's the multiverse. There, put it this way, my car, I didn't know this until this accident. There's a fatality lot. That's where all the fatalities, the cars go to the fatality lot. My car ended up in the fatality lot. So my hypothesis after studying quantum physics is I probably died in that car wreck, but this is the version of me that is alive, right? It's a weird quantum, like, so my car literally—
Yeah, Schrodinger's cat, is it alive or is it dead?
Correct.
It's both at the same time.
So while I'm laying in the field, I'm in and out of consciousness. I couldn't stand up. I had nerve damage in my leg, and I still have a severe indentation on my forehead here. And I just noticed that recently. It starts here and here from the wreck. So with that, I had aphasia. I didn't know what aphasia was, but that means I could think something, but I couldn't speak it.
Can't speak.
Random words would come out. So I couldn't speak. I couldn't stand up. And I'm just laying there. Next thing you know, I'm about 20, 30 feet in the air. And I see someone laying in a field. And I'm confused. I'm like, and I start to focus in, like, who is this laying in the field and what's going on? And I see that it's me lying in the field. Immediately, I'm surrounded. I'm pulled up and it's all bright white light. And I'm confused. And I'm wondering what's going on. And then I see my sisters who are here with me in St. Thomas. One lives right up the hill from me and one lives a couple miles away. My sisters, who at the time, I was 24, that one was 14 and one was 12, were at my funeral crying. So I see my sisters crying at my funeral and it felt painful to see that occur. And next thing you know, something or someone comes up and puts their arm around me and all of my confusion, all my worry, all my fear goes away. And I have instant peace and instant feeling of I'm home, like a level that I can't even relate. Like this is home. And so all the fear went away. Everything was good. We turn 180 degrees. And even though it was still bright white light, now these huge doors are there, like huge, like 40 feet high. And we start, and the light's coming out of it. And we're walking towards the doors. And halfway there, I said, stop. This isn't how it was supposed to end. I know you had more for me to accomplish. Send me back. And next thing I remember, I woke up in intensive care. I'd been helicopter lifted from that field to University of Rochester Medical Center. And I had a respirator breathing for me. And all I remember is it sucks to be conscious when a respirator is breathing for you. It's in and out, whether you feel like breathing in or out or not. So I'm struggling. and I'm handcuffed to the gurney. I come up to find out later when they were putting that tube down my throat, apparently I had superpowers and I was throwing doctors and nurses around the hospital.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I don't like I had that superpower experience, which I heard from other NDEs that is a common thing. And they had me handcuffed to, so I woke up, I'm confused, this respirator is breathing for me. And they finally get that out. But then they're asking me, and this is the other weird part, because my car went to the fatality lot. And I found out from a stepbrother who ended up working at the fire department in that town. And he was friends with one of the first responders to my accident. And they remember the accident. And apparently what I heard was, with a fatality, they keep the ID at the site. So I showed up in the helicopter as a John Doe. They didn't have my IDs. So when I woke up and they took the respirator out, they're asking me, who are you? Who can we call? So my family, my friends don't know where I am. I'm missing for a day.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm just missing. I'm a John Doe. And they're asking me, who am I? And I know what I'm thinking, but the words coming out were just random nonsense. And I, and someone with aphasia, I explained this to many nurses who work in the intensive care. I said, I knew what I was trying to say. My name is Tom Beal, but red, blue, and just random words would come out.
Yes.
And I would get frustrated and say, that's not what I'm trying to say. I tried again, and more random words would come out. So I'd get more frustrated, try again, and then finally realize, apparently my brain and mouth isn't coordinated properly, so I'm just going to give up. So they couldn't figure out who I was for a long time. And then finally, I was able to sneak out after many attempts what my name was. And then with my stepfather, who worked in that town with my family, curious of where I was, he started to research with the cops and to find out, like, hey, does anything happen? And he found inside information and found out I was at the hospital. So my family finally showed up like a day late at the hospital, and I still had aphasia and nerve damage in my leg. Basically, the doctor says, with the head trauma and the nerve damage I have, I may never walk or talk properly again. And I would just shake my head no. I couldn't speak a reply other than just shake my head no. I didn't want to. I pictured myself walking out of there. I pictured myself talking. And within a few days, I was able to walk and talk. And as soon as I could walk enough with a walker, I signed the early release papers against doctor orders to get out of the hospital.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to believe in me not walking or talking again in the future.
May I pause you a minute? Because I want to hear the rest of the story.
Sure.
So how did that determination and visualizing against everyone's opinion mm-hmm. carry over into your business world, into your life as a successful business person, and what you teach your clients and the people you mentor?
That's a fantastic question. And what I now teach is, I am me, comma, F you. I am me, comma, F you, meaning what you hear when you hear that, but also F you is fully and unapologetically. Be you fully and unapologetically, regardless of what others or what experts or what doctors are telling you you can or can't do. Get clear on who you are, get clear on where you are, get clear on where you're wanting to go with your health, with your relationships, with your finances, and put your plan in place to live your life. Because this journey, and one of the things I teach along with that is, you are not dead yet. You are not reaching your full potential yet, right? So let's start with the end in mind. We all end up in the grave, right? We all end up dead. So if we think about that, the way I like to bring it back, it's not in a fearful manner, but it's like, look, what if this is the most amazing amusement park in the universe? Remember a trip either on a cruise ship or going to an amusement park, whether for it's a day or a week or more, it's over like that. Well, guess what? So is this brief journey we call life here. I mean, I'm 51 now. And I don't know about you, but not only do the...
I'm 65, so right. I get the point.
Yeah, right. Not only do the years fly by, the decades fly by. And I'd got news of a friend and a coworker passed away yesterday. Like, we have that exit, this amusement park date. We don't know when that is. But the key from my perspective is, be you fully and unapologetically. Hear other people's insights. You know, the doctors were not telling me that to crush my ambitions or to crush my goals and dreams. They were given information based on the data they had, which they were trying to share, you know, with the injuries you have, you may never walk or talk properly again. They weren't trying to crush my dreams, but I didn't want to receive that. So I just, okay, thank you for your feedback, but I picture myself walking and talking. So I'm going to disregard your expert doctor and nurse advice or recommendations. And that happens in business. You're going to have friends and family members telling you, and or people that don't see the full vision of what you see, because they care about you. They're trying to save you from getting hurt. They're going to tell you, you know, kind of warn you, you know, hey, don't try to go too big, you know, just settle. But you know what you want. You know who you are. You know what your dream is. Don't let anybody crush that. Step into I am me, F you. Be you fully and unapologetically. And I feel I am a king among kings, not a king among inferior beings. Meaning, I don't look at myself as better or worse than anybody else. Like, I learn from everybody. I have some people, and I'm sure you have some people, like, oh, I learn from people that are, you know, at this level, or they have certain parameters. I learn from everybody I come in contact
with. Me too.
That's my way of operating. And so I'm a king among kings, not a king among inferior beings. So whenever
I love that. It prevents narcissism, because without that, your philosophy of you're not dead yet, F you, would turn into narcissism. But now by saying, no, I'm not viewing myself as grandiosely above everybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody is a king who I could learn from. I get it. It's a great built-in failsafe.
And I believe, just like, that whole crash was meant to be because it happened. That's another thing. Like, it happened and it was meant to be because it happened, right? And that's for tragedies. That's for difficulties. You know, my perspective is things unfold perfectly. I could have, would have, should
push back against that.
Sure, absolutely.
I like to push back against my guests.
Sure.
So I'm Jewish. You may know where this is going.
Sure.
I was raised on films of the concentration camps. Stacks of bodies, starved, emaciated bodies, ovens. Are you telling me that that was meant to happen and therefore no one should have tried to stop it?
No, it was meant to happen because it happened, but there were people that eventually stopped it, right? And we see this now. I mean, we see this in the world. There's so much chaos. There's always going to be chaos. There's always going to people that don't see I am a king among kings, not a king among inferior beings. There are groups of people that see themselves as better than others and create harm. Like, so my whole mantra on that is, be you fully and unapologetically. I am me, F you, comes with the caveat of be someone who's not out to harm anybody, right? Be you fully and unapologetically, but with no harm. However, there are circumstances, and there are, the way I see this, the way I can summarize that, my body and your body has trillions of cells in it. This humanity has around 8 billion cells of humanity. Yep. In this body of trillions of cells, there's millions of cells that are asshole cells that are trying to hurt and kill this body.
Yes.
Like, for whatever reason, right? And the white blood cells go and attack those. But those cells are causing havoc until the white blood cells get it under control. So the way I see humanity is very similar. Humanity, in my opinion, at least 80% are good people not looking to harm anybody.
I agree.
And about 10% are amazing. They're looking to help everybody, right? And then there's a 10% who are the scum of the earth who want to kill and harm as many people.
Unfortunately, those are the ones, the scum always rises to the top of the water.
Right. The scum rises to the top. And so on that point, so you heard I was in the Marine Corps. I was the honor man out of boot camp, meritoriously promoted 3 times. I had a whole amazing 4 years of active duty experience. And my 4 years of active duty also came with 4 years of inactive duty. I served in 8 years of 16 years of peacetime. There's only been 16 years of peacetime in the United States. So this is a
goodness. Thank goodness for you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but thank goodness for you that you, I'm assuming you didn't see active combat.
Correct. And thank God. Yeah. Thank God.
My father saw it in World War II. He's a combat medic fighting Nazis, and his PTSD was lifelong. He never lost it.
You can't, as a human, you're not supposed to be in that kill or be killed scenario. I mean, supposed to. It happened, right? So we're in it, but it's something that you can never unsee, right? It's a sad circumstance to have people be in that situation.
Right.
So I had someone say, well, when I hire somebody, if I find out they were a Marine, I'm definitely hiring myself. Whoa, time out. Every group of any type of label that you can place on any, you know, whether it's race or nationality or whatever label you want to put on a group of people, that 80% are grossly good, 10% are amazing, and 10% are pieces of crap. So don't just give a grandiose label for this group of people are good.
I love it.
Yeah. So understand, and whether it's Jewish, whether it's Christian, whether it's Marine Corps, whatever label, every 80% are pretty decent, 10% are amazing, 10% are pieces of crap. And that's just how the statistics are. And so it's as the population grows, that 10% of pieces of crap grows pretty largely too. And so the white blood cells are there to attack the piece of crap cells in my body trying to cause harm in your body. So when those piece of crap cells are acting up, the white blood cells take care of it, right? So that's my answer to
Got it. That. Let's talk about the practical applications to how you mentor and coach and help people who are in business make massive change. So I get the philosophy. I agree with the philosophy. Let's break it down or break out or unpack the specific skill sets that are required to take this from a beautiful perspective into something that actually leads to success in the world. Because we are in the world, money is power to an extent. And what are your methodologies for doing that?
I would say money is energy, right? Money is energy.
Right.
And that energy can be directed in good and bad. Right. So a lot of the people that I work with are already highly successful. Right. And success, that term we throw around, but a lot of people, like, if we asked what does success mean to you, to the 8 billion people here, we'd probably get close to 8 billion different answers as to what success is. So a lot of people want success, but they don't really know or have clarity of what success is for themselves. A lot of the people that I work with who are multimillionaires and are highly respected, and from the outside, they got everything. They got the life. Man, do they have it awesome. They got the amazing house. Some of them have jets. Some of them have boats. Some of them have, you know, all the stuff. They got the amazing looking wife and the amazing looking family, but they're workaholics, or they're alcoholics, or they're sexaholics. There's some type. We live in an addiction age society. And I'm not a doctor. I'm called the simplifier. From my own experiences, you talked about me being born to teenagers and raised around 4 divorces and 6 marriages as a child, going to 9 different schools by 8th grade. That taught me a lot about how to deal with massive chaos and how to, as the Marine Corps ended up teaching me later, improvise, adapt, and overcome, because your plans are not going to go to plan. So most of the people that I come in contact with from the outside have it all. But guess what? They're human. And just like we talked about, any group of people that you label, 80% are going to be amazing, 10% are going to be phenomenal, and 10% are going to be a piece of crap. Every human has amazing traits and some not so amazing traits. Why? Because we're human, right? And so this addiction age society, this thing alone has introduced the apps, the games, the dating apps. I mean, the social media. This is the biggest dopamine hit. This is like giving a plate of cocaine continuously to not just the kids who have it, but adults. And it's like, hey, here you go. Unlimited coke. Have at it. And they just get their hit. They get their bump. And what their bump is different for everybody. I was working with a highly successful DECA millionaire, and the plan that he was describing to help, basically help remove most of them out of the workaholic stage and put proper team systems and effectiveness in place to remove them from being a workaholic, and then divert their attention to, now that they have all the resources, they could go down a debaucherous path to now redirect that energy into the other important things: their health, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual health, their key relationships, their wives, their kids.
How the hell do you do that? How the hell do you take someone? Because I want to ask this in a unique light.
Yep.
So in that other job of teaching pick up the men, a huge amount, maybe 40 to 50% were seriously traumatized. And that trauma led to very, very rigid behaviors, either shutting down or acting out or not trusting anyone or being control freaks. So given the fact, you may not see this or agree with it or not, but my perspective is about 40 to 50% of the population are either dealing with chronic trauma or acute trauma. So how do you deal with your clients who have that trauma that's really interrupting their decision-making process? Are you able to get them to work through that? How much of you is a healer and psychologist as well as a mentor and a coach?
It's a great balance of that. And on that same note, first of all, I have to sell them what they want and give them what they need. That's the key to marketing right there, because they don't want to become a better person. They want better results, right? So you sell them the better results, but then once you get into it, they realize the more they can put some attention, for instance, into their own health, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual health. One of the first things I help them take control of is their thoughts, their words, and actions related to their health, because many of them have the monetary success, but they're not in the optimal health. So I've had some clients lose 70 pounds, 100 pounds, just by refocusing their energies and putting a simple plan in place to take control of their food intake. And there's a weird, like, this is our premium octane fuel, water, right? Like, water is our premium octane fuel. Switching people from drinking Coca-Cola or Pepsi or all that other caloric intake that's unnecessary to just water is one simple thing that helps them drop huge amounts of weight. Then I put them on a 3-day apple fast. That I learned from Edgar Cayce, known as the sleeping prophet.
Yeah.
That's a detoxification of your body, but it's also a detoxification of pulling you out of the matrix to realize you don't eat, you don't need to eat out of habit, out of routine, out of social settings, out of stress, out of it's breakfast, lunch, dinner. You eat to fuel your multi-trillion dollar vehicle. So these are psychological shifts that I share with people to understand in the waters behind here. Like, I just came from a yoga session where all the yachts are and stuff. And Jeff Bezos's $500 million yacht is there on a regular basis. That $500 million yacht doesn't come close to how much your body is worth. Put it this way. How much would Steve Jobs pay for your, any, you listening, how much would Steve Jobs pay for your, you know, you rent big yachts? The answer is all. He would pay over $6 billion for one day to rent your body, your mental capacity. As long as you can think and speak and you can fog a mirror, that's how valuable your body is. You can go rent big old yachts for $500,000 for a week, but to your body is exponentially more valuable, more precious than a yacht or a plane or a big house. So going back to the biblical stuff, when I grew up, I didn't know whatever they trained in the Bible about how to treat your body like a temple. I didn't know what a temple was. I grew up in trailer parks. I was poor. I had teenage parents. I didn't know what a temple was, but I know what a nice car is. I know what a nice house is. I know what a nice boat is or a nice plane is. Your body is exponentially more valuable than all of that. And you can rent the nice cars, the nice houses, the nice planes, all that. You can't rent this. So when I help people understand this is a multi-billion, trillion-dollar vehicle, you take care of your cars and your house and your properties. How about taking care of your body? So that shift right there helps people learn to take control. And in that process, then we get into forgiveness. We get into forgiving the past. We get into, and here's the biggest takeaway. And this is one I'm still a work in progress on. I can forgive the people that have really screwed me over. Big, like men, yeah. Women, business part, all that. I can really come, it takes a while, but in due time, I can come to really, truly forgiving them. Hey, they just did the best they could with where they were. I forgave my parents. I forgave all that stuff. And helping my clients do that is easier than helping people look in the mirror and forgive that person looking back at them in the mirror. That's where it really boils down to for me. And that's, as you said, like a lot of us, like you mentioned, your dad had PTSD. I feel all of us in some way, shape or form have levels of PTSD. And it's just different for everybody. But with that whole process of taking back control of the stuff you put into your most amazing vehicle, your trillion-dollar vehicle, opens up the door to like, whoa, if I can make such a significant shift and they see the results, they drop weight, like within a month or two, they drop so much weight and they're now taking control. They're gaining more time. They're feeling healthier. They're feeling more vibrant. And they're also going through that forgiveness of the past and forgiveness of themselves process. It helps them be where our power is here in this present moment. Because this brings up, go ahead. So yeah,
this brings up a question for me. You must screen your clients, not just for their ability to pay you what you're worth, but also for their mindset. Are they willing to be coachable? Are they people who are willing to take on a multi-pronged approach to their success? Or are they just people who say, just show me how to make the money and shut up, Tom?
I've only violated my rule once and it taught me the lesson, so I never violate my rule. I have what's called a success intake form. And in my success intake form, it takes about 20 minutes for you to go through. And it asks questions that most of the time, these people who are highly successful haven't asked themselves in many years, decades, or ever. And in just completing this success intake form, they're going to have some epiphanies. They're going to have some eye-opening experiences. Like it gets into some deep questions. And it takes about 20 minutes for them to do this. So when people engage, okay, great. Step one is go complete the success intake form. So that automatically shows me, are they coachable or not? So I had one person who was too busy. I don't have time to do that. And I he was a big shot. So I was like, all right, I'll make an exception in this case. And we jumped in. And there's a twofold reason for this. This is a reverse sales process. A, they sell me on why I should consider working with them.
Of course.
And I even tell them, I said, look, you complete this. You're going to have some epiphanies. I'll review it. And if I feel there's a connection, I will schedule a call. If I don't feel it, you're going to have the epiphanies and we'll still be friends. But so that's where it begins. And they go deep into it. And what that also does is save us 2 hours or so of getting to know each other. Because now I read who they are, where they are personally and professionally, what goals and dreams they have, what goals and dreams they've given up on, you know, so their health, their relationships, their finances, I know it all. And they share stuff with me just because of my reputation. And they also, you know, in this industry I've been in over 20 years, I mean, I could be the Cat Williams. You know, remember Cat Williams had the big reveal. He had a big successful interview that got shared everywhere where Cat ratted out like all the other comedians. Like, I'm not here to rat anybody out. Like, I know the stuff that they don't even tell their wives.
Oh,
their,
I know too. I know about some of the, I know some of the big names in the market guru space, and they've got laundry that.
Yeah. And so, and I don't say that in a judge. And that's one of the things I tell them, look, I've seen it all. I've heard it all. I've been around it all. And nothing you can say is going to shock me. I've been shocked a couple times. Like, hey, you know what? I told you nothing would shock me. This shocked me. I didn't really, I'm not in a judgmental stage, but you know, because I got the husbands with boyfriends. You know, they got their wife, they got their girlfriend, they got all the stuff you could ever imagine.
I know.
You know, right? So I'm in a non-judgmental stage, which took me a long time to get to, because you know, there's that old saying: be careful when you meet your hero, because you're going to see they're human and they're going to have flaws. Yeah. And that's just how life, so I understand everybody's human, and I come at them from a perspective that's not looking at them on a pedestal. I'm like, I know you're human, and you got some great qualities and you got some screwed up qualities, but we're here to get you more results, but also the more important stuff, joy, happiness, love, you know, a rekindling. And here, it's almost like Al Bundy. Remember how he talked about,
loved Al Bundy.
He always talked about how he was the quarterback 20 years ago. I threw 4 touchdowns in one game. Remember that? A lot of these highly successful people, the tens and hundreds of millions of dollars, they sold their business or whatever years ago. Hey, what do you do? Well, you know, I started that business and I sold it. And okay, but they don't have any forward goals. So they've been to the moon and back, but they don't have the Mars goals.
Literally. I just have to push a button here. I remember reading a book or reading an article. I don't remember exactly. I'd seen an interview. I don't remember exactly what it was. But they were interviewing one of the astronauts. They were talking about one of the astronauts who came back from the moon. Yep. He fell into the bottle and eventually drank himself to death. And the other, Edgar Mitchell, formed a beautiful life, investigated paranormal phenomena, and had a new... And one of the lessons that Edgar Mitchell said is, never be a used to be.
Correct. And I call that the back from the moon. You know, hey, look, you've been to the moon and back. You had goals. You far exceeded your goals. Now what? Like, so the way, then I circle this all back to life. I give the analogy, life is the greatest amusement park in the universe. You've been on all the rides, but there's still more rides to explore. Like, what brings you joy? Your goal isn't to ride every ride at the amusement park. Your goal is to explore, to find the rides that you really like. What's next? So what I teach people who have that, A, to simplify their life. There's only three things, in my opinion, that are of importance: your health, your relationships, and your finances. And with then that equals success for me. Success, from my perspective, fits into Earl Nightingale's quote: success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. That's his, which is a pretty good one. But success to me is doing what I want, where I want, with whom I want, whenever I want, like just being me fully and unapologetically, and being someone who gets compensated highly to be me. Like, I have created a life that is pretty amazing just by being me, as you have, as many people who have watched this. And that's my goal, to help people imagine getting paid to produce an amazing lifestyle just by being you. And guess what? You have to. One of my mentors was Zig Ziglar. You can have everything in life you want if you simply help enough others get what they want. So I help my target audience get what they want, but most of them don't even know what they want. I sell them what they want, but I give them what they need, which is happiness and joy and health and key relationships. And by the way, their finances grow, because once you take, as you do everything, one small thing, you do everything. So once you take control of getting your health in order, your inner relationship's going to be better with you and you in the mirror, and your relationship with your wife, who might already hate you or be wanting a divorce. Now you can solidify that. You can grow that. And same thing with children. And then your business is going to grow at levels, because you've removed yourself from being that workaholic and been the constraint for all these years. So anyhow, it's a fun.
I have a question for you.
Yeah,
my intuitive head, my mind, I have been coaching people for a long time and doing a lot of healing work. This is a question you may have not been asked before. Mm-hmm. When you were that poor kid living in the different trailers and going through all that, Did you have a sense that you would be a great man one day, that you would move and change the world? Did you have that even back then? Because my idea is that you freaking did.
I did. And at
I
that
knew it.
time, I remember
I knew it. I knew it.
Going to 9 schools by 8th grade. One time we moved from my home. My mom met this new boyfriend up where I was with my family unit was there. She met a new boyfriend who also, his family had a farm in North Carolina. So she moved me at about 9 years old to North Carolina away from everybody. So now I'm in North Carolina. I literally was watching Cinderella and I was the Cinderella in the male perspective. I was the stepson who was getting treated like Cinderella. And I'm like, that's me. Like my whole life unfolded in a manner that's not to say it taught me the lessons that I'm so grateful for. I wouldn't change anything for, but I knew. And I remember crying in North Carolina saying, man, if I ever do figure this out, I want to put stuff out there that can help people that are feeling like I'm feeling.
Same thing. So you knew back then. I remember, I just have to, it's not about making it about me, but I want to share the similar. The reason I knew that about you is because it was true for me.
Yep.
I remember even as a child thinking one day I'm going to grow up to be a great person who contributes to the world. But I knew that you were the same. I knew you were walking on the same path. Let's dive into this is beautiful, but let's dive into a little bit. Let's see. Maxima, I am me, F you, for your best is yet to come. Your best to yet is yet to come. What do you mean by that?
So in dealing with people that have had goals and they far exceeded their goals, a lot of them look in the past like, well, I guess I did what was mine to do. Like, no, you're still here. Like, you are not dead yet. Like, what's next? Like, that's the stepping stone to get you to, I reinvigorate. I give them a burning desire again, because a lot of them kind of lost that drive, that burning desire that gave them from that idea to implementation to the massive results and the lifestyle they live. They now are in coast mode, and that's boring. And it's like the back from the moon syndrome. And it's so reinvigorating what's next. So when you're at the music park, for example, I circle it all back to this amusement park analogy. When you're done riding that amazing ride, you got the rush. You're like, hey, are we riding it again? Or are we going to another ride? Okay, another ride, which ride? So what's next? So I give people a what's next type of burning desire. And in many cases, it's to be at that optimal level of health, to invest back into the relationships of their wives, their husbands, their children, all that, their key relationships, and put the proper systems into their business and or come up with a newer thing. But I'll circle it all into another thing that's your best is yet to come is the great equalizer is the 24 hours in a day. Like nobody gets 25 hours a day. Everyone has 24 hours. And it's how you use those, how you either invest that time, which is the most precious and ever fleeting asset, or how you waste it. So we all are trying to grow our assets as far as how can I invest and not waste my money to grow that? How can we maximize our great equalizer of time? And I'm going to share one thing that I teach to people. And it's funny because I'll get texts randomly like, dude, I caught myself and I want to remind you. Thank you. So let's just say this little device here. 30 minutes a day of mindless swiping. That's easy. Like that's simple. Like most people, an hour, two, more. Like, so let's just go with 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes a day. If you do the math, 30 times 365, you divide that by 60 is going to give you the total hours. You divide that by 40. Why 40? 40 is a normal 40-hour work week. I remember working a 40-hour work week, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Me too.
And that's a long week, right?
Yep.
30 minutes a day. You can do that and not even know it, of mindless swiping, turns out to be 4.5 40-hour work weeks in a year.
That's scary.
I got tingles thinking about it. Super scary.
That's
and you right. And you and I all know 30 minutes. And that, so let's double it, an hour, which is still way lower than what it really is. An hour is 9 40-hour work weeks in a year.
Tom, just wow. See, this is why I say social media is destroying civilization.
It was
meant to be a way for people to communicate important things. Now it's all, look how great my life is. Be jealous of me. I'm a star. Because people can't accept the extraordinary of being ordinary. That's how I like to put it.
It's stealing the most precious and ever fleeting asset of the billions of people who are tapped into it. And if you really think about it, if time is your most precious asset, Think about this. Who steals the most time is the most successful company. Let that sink in. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, those steal the most time. And the more time you can steal, the more successful these companies are. So let that sink in for a little bit. The more they can craft addiction, the more they can sneak in, and the more attention they can get and keep of the masses, the wealthier and the more value that company has. It's literally, when you step back and look at it from that perspective, there's a lot more going on. It's an energy suck.
And yes. Facebook was designed to be addictive. They designed the algorithm to do that.
As was this entire phone. This is more exponentially more addictive than casinos in Vegas.
You know what's destroying families is I have a thing about watching people, not in a voyeuristic way, maybe a little bit, but I like to observe human behavior, as do you. And I remember sitting at a restaurant the other day having breakfast, family of four, assuming husband, wife, two kids, and they were nobody was looking at each other. Nope. They were typing all away. Here.
Yep.
They were all here.
Right.
It's really so.
So let's for you watching this, think about that. We talked about 30 minutes a day for a year turns into 4.5 40-hour work weeks gone, stolen. So I have clients that hit me up like, dude, I caught myself mindlessly drifting. Brandon Burchard calls it browser blackout. You know, you go on YouTube looking for something for business. Next thing you know, you look up and 2 hours disappeared. Like, whoa, what happened? And then if we add in, some people will binge not just a movie, but a multiple shows that are way longer than movies. Right. No, so if you throw in less. That, if you throw in the movies and all that to the number, we're talking hours per day. We're talking months out of the year that are stolen. And if you can understand that and invest. And I'm not, and when I say this, people are like, oh, so you mean I can't do this or I can't do no. Do that intentionally. What I'm saying is your unintentional waste of time is costing you your health, your relationships, and your finances. When you transition to being intentional with this most precious, never fleeting asset,
I knew you were gonna go there. If I could summarize or put words in your mouth, I would say live life with intention and live life with purpose, because you're not gonna be here forever.
There you go. That's the summary. I got chills as you said that. That my hair is standing up because
this is my job. It's my job as an interviewer and a smart cookie.
You just summarized it brilliantly.
My job. I take that. I've learned to say thank you. I know. Tell me more. I've learned that. Instead of, my mother used to say, self-praise stinks. And I said, and she said, don't get a big head when people praise you. And I'm thinking, not if I've earned it. This has been fantastic. I want you back on the show, and I would love to become allies with you on your mission. It's my dream. I was telling Simon the other day, it's my dream to take super talented, conscious humans and bring them all together in like the Justice League of America or the Avengers, and bring us together for a week someplace, not in San Diego, urban San Diego. But is that a screenshot or is that actually where you live?
This is out my window. That's what I look out at. That's my view from my.
Mine is of a hospital. I live 500 feet from a major emergency hospital here in San Diego. This has been amazing, Tom. I know. And can you hold up your book again?
Oh, sure.
So people can see. You are not dead yet.
And next to dead, living up to your potential yet. You are not living up to your potential yet. And this is like, so even for people that are worth tens or hundreds of millions, they haven't even tapped into their potential. So I help remind them that there's much more. Like, you're not dead yet. What's next? Right? So that's the key.
I believe that every human is born a giant and a genius, and it's socialized out of us or punished out of us. And I think we can see eye to eye on that. Tom, you've been an amazing guest. Will you come back someday?
I would love to. Thank you for having me here. It's been an absolutely pleasure. I'd love to chat for hours on this, and I'll look forward to coming back in a future podcast. So
in addition to your book, how else can people stay in the conversation with you?
Go to tombeal.com, TOMBEAL.com. I have a lot of free gifts there that will help get additional insights on the stuff that we talked about here today.
Stay on with me just for a few minutes after we've concluded. another fantastic episode of the Influencer's Edge. Thank you, Tom Beal. We'll see you the next time. And who knows what kind of interesting guest we're going to have and how I'm going to open up what's going on inside them. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen.
The Influencer's Edge is brought to you by the Rapid Sales Accelerator. If you're ready to skyrocket your sales by 30% or more in just 90 days, then you need to claim your free training right now. You'll learn 4 words that will compel your prospects to trust you like they were children within the first 3 to 5 minutes of any conversation across any platform and any medium. You'll learn how to give your prospects objection amnesia to crush objections like, I need to talk to my spouse, or I need more time to think it over, or it's too expensive. And finally, you'll get a free recorded audio training that will install unbelievable attitudes for success and wipe out any limiting beliefs. So if you'd like to claim your free training now, go to www.paulrossbook.com. Do it before your competition does it now. Thank you for tuning in to the Influencer's Edge, where you get the latest breakthroughs, cutting-edge insights, tools, and techniques so you can leapfrog over the pack in sales, influence, and persuasion. Remember to visit our website at www.theinfluencersedge.com to enjoy even more great episodes like this one. We look forward to seeing you again on the Influencer's Edge Show.